Jonathan dropped his pen on his notepad, emitted an exasperated hissing sound, and shook his head. The suggestion that murder was the family business came awfully close to the argument LeJudas had been barred from making. But Jonathan did not object. He could not appear to be obstructing the prosecution with technical legalistic defenses. His defense would not be technical. Jacob did not do it. Jonathan did not want to muddy that message. I understood all this. Still, it was infuriating to watch such contemptible bullshit go unchallenged. The judge eyed LeJudas. LeJudas, at least murder trials were the family business. The business of proving a murderer guilty. What we're doing right here, right now. This was something the defendant knew a little about, and not from watching TV shows. So when he snapped, when the moment came, the last deadly provocation, and he went after one of his own classmates with a hunting knife, he had already laid the groundwork, just in case. And when it was over, he covered his tracks like an expert. Because in a way, he was an expert. There was only one problem. Even experts make mistakes. And over the next few days, we're going to uncover the tracks that led right back to him. And only to him. And when you've seen all the evidence, you'll know beyond a reasonable doubt, beyond any doubt, that this defendant is guilty. A pause. But why? You're asking, why would he kill a boy in his eighth grade class? Why would any child do this to another child? He made a perplexed gesture, eyebrows raised, big shrug. Well, we've all been in school. His lips began to curl up into a smirk, conspiratorial. Let's be naughty together and have a laugh in the courtroom. Come on, we've all been there, some of us more recently than others. He gave a crocodile smile, which was, to my amazement, returned with little knowing grins from the jurors. That's right, we've all been there, and we all know how kids can be. Let's face it, school can be difficult. Kids can be mean. They tease, they horse around, they poke fun. You're going to hear testimony that the victim in this case, a 14-year-old boy named Ben Rifkin, teased the defendant. Nothing especially shocking. Nothing that would be a big deal to most kids. Nothing you wouldn't hear on any playground in any town if you left this courtroom right now and drove around a bit. Let me be clear about something. It is not necessary to make a saint out of Ben Rifkin, the victim in this case. You're going to hear some things about Ben Rifkin that maybe aren't too flattering. But I want you to remember this. Ben Rifkin was a boy like any other boy. He was not perfect. He was a regular kid with all the flaws and all the growing pains of an ordinary teenager. He was 14 years old, 14, with his whole life stretched out in front of him. Not a saint, but who among us would want to be judged only by the first 14 years of our lives? Who among us was complete and finished at 14? Ben Rifkin was everything the defendant wanted to be. He was handsome, cool, popular. The defendant, on the other hand, was an outsider among his own classmates. Quiet, lonely, sensitive, odd. An outcast. But Ben made a fatal mistake in teasing this strange boy. He didn't know about that temper, about the defendant's hidden capacity, even desire, to kill. Objection. Sustained. The jury will disregard the remark about the defendant's desire, which is complete speculation.